Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
In issues of racism, there are going to be some who will say, why don't you stick to preaching gospel?
The social, political, and economic concerns have increasingly encroached upon the minds of those who should know better.
The real transformative work in a nation is the transformative work of the gospel.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
And away we go.
It's the Wretched Radio mail call delivery bag Q&A infotainment nationwide extravaganza featuring your voicemails, correspondences, communiques, dispatches, memorandums, and missives.
Any special message for all the kids watching at home?
What we need right now is a clear message to the people of this country.
You have 1,200 messages.
Oh, that is a bit above average.
Now here's your host, Todd Freakishly Tall Friel.
Here. Ooh. Did I just get out of the shower? Why are my glasses so filmy? Oh yeah, that would be me. I would still like somebody to send an email to idea@wretched.org with not just a question, comment, conundrum, snark, or correction, but an explanation. How does human oil that we produce on our face get under our glasses? Huh? You got that explanation, science boy? And how's about the spit? How did it get? What did it? Shoot and hit the wall and then bounce back onto my... How do I get spit on my glasses? Would somebody help me with this? Please send it to idea@wretched.org along with your questions, comments, conundrums, snarks, or corrections. I got one this week, Jimmy.
Ah.
I didn't just blow the sis boom ba joke. I destroyed the Ray Comfort illustration.
How so?
Ray will say, do you know what death is? Wages. And I used that illustration, but I said sin is wages.
Oh, that is wrong.
Oop, that would be wrong. When you catch me biffing it, please, I'll try to correct it if it's necessary and important. Believe me, I'll correct it. Send it to idea@wretched.org. Jimmy, if you don't mind, I received an email. This was a personal one from a buddy. Now, this is a long shot, I grant you. But should you happen to be anywhere near Sevierville, Tennessee... I've actually been to Sevierville is that where Dollywood is over in that neck of the woods?
Yep.
Yeah, Sevierville. And I think we did a conference with Answers in Genesis. I can't recall, but I've been there before. Is it a lovely part of the world? Not as many people as Atlanta, but the point is there's a new church there, Smoky Mountain Bible Church. A buddy of mine is pastoring there. I met him in Texas. And wow, the reports on this fellow that he has been preaching up a storm and the church is growing. He now has moved his family, lovely family, to Sevierville, Tennessee to plant Smoky Mountain Bible Church, smokymountainbible.com. His name is Pastor Mike McGrath. Anywhere near there? Yay! You got yourself a good church. idea@wretched.org.
Okay, we're going to start off with...
By the way, Jimmy.
Yeah.
You know what else we received this week, which might explain why I can't possibly talk any faster than I currently am?
A pot of coffee?
No, better than that.
What's that?
Well, I hate to point this out because you probably noticed I am simultaneously more buff and svelte altogether because... We discovered protein-infused pancakes. That's right. Is it Krusties? K-R-U-S-T-A, however you use Krusties? Somebody, marketing, call them. Get on that. I love pancakes. That's one of the reasons I love church. We used to serve pancakes a lot. And I love pancakes. Therefore, I love church. These pancakes now have protein in them, and we feel better. Not entirely good, but better about eating a carbohydrate fest because it's got the protein in it. But Jimmy, what made it really good?
What's that?
Oh, Mill Gap, pure Virginia, small batch maple syrup. Oh. The people who run that place sent me a vat. And I'm using it. Wow, are those crusty pancakes delicious, filled with protein and good. It's comfort food, which is why I simultaneously look more buff and svelte. You probably noticed. And Friel, If you don't zip it, we're taking away the rest of that syrup. Alrighty, idea at wretched.org.
Well, we will start off with some encouragement, not a correction, from Stephen. He said he wanted to say thanks for the balanced content that you bring to the podcast each week. He appreciates the way you balance criticism, exhortation, and evangelism. You've been a great encouragement to him.
Huh. Well, that was, you should have saved that for the end. Oh. I don't want to tell you how to run this thing. But that's like, then we've got no place to go now.
Well, we do have, for me, he said, he also had a P.S. that he says he thinks Jimmy deserves a raise. But
I see why this was included. Now it's crystal clear. Thank you, sir. Idea at wretched.org.
All right. This is from Laura. Really good question. She said, would it be wrong or sinful, having the conviction that believer's baptism is correct, to submit to my husband if he has the conviction that infant baptism is the way to go?
Oh, boy. Okay, this is an aside that's related. I'm not commenting on this lady's difficult dynamic. But if you're dating somebody and you don't have some of these issues ironed out, that wrinkle is going to be painful. And this is one of them. You could have yourself, I'm a believer's Baptist guy. I believe that Presbyterian, Pado Baptists, they're not heretics. We disagree on the subject. So get along just fine. Thank you very much. But I'm not married to a Presbyterian. And you put those two views together. How is that going to get worked out? What are you going to do with the kids? This is exactly what you're hearing. Is this an issue that would say, I can't marry that person because they're a heretic? No, we get along just fine. But this is an issue that is so practical that it might be overcomable. If you can't get it worked out before you get married, don't do that. Whether it's this issue or any other, we'll get it worked out. He looks at porn, but I'm sure it'll stop. Nah, don't do it, Beretta. Now, what would I do if I were this woman? She believes in believer's baptism because she reads her Bible well. I'm sorry. That was cheap. That was just plain cheap.
Just a little bit.
What that was, my Presbyterian friends. She believes in believer's baptism. He doesn't. Okay, here's the dynamic biblically. He is the spiritual leader in the home. So if there's going to be a final say, he's going to get it. So with that in mind, that this is not an issue that is going to damn a child, it's just going to get them a little wet, perhaps agitated. They're going to cry, and you're going to be nervous all morning hoping that it goes well. Other than that, it's not like you're acquiescing to sin. I think that you would have to, in a dynamic like this, the coin toss goes to the husband. This is one of those pretty rare instances where something like this would happen. And I don't think that you would have to feel guilty that your child's getting sprinkled. Now, before, however, I acquiesced that, I would spend a lot of time with my spouse. Hey, before we do anything, how's about this? We both agree to set our views aside and work through the Bible together to see if we can get on the same page. What do you say we do that? Because you know what? I might discover you're right. And I'm not making this fun because of my believer's baptism position. Maybe I'm wrong. And maybe you're wrong about the pedo business. Could we spend some time working through it, please? And maybe, just maybe, he'll see the light. Send your emails to, that was another one. Syrup, Jimmy. I'm telling you, it's the syrup.
Blowing on the syrup.
So you know what? Funny thing about this is, it looks like they still make these, I presume. Haven't been in a liquor store for a while, although the grocery store has become one.
Yes, it has.
Isn't it? Yeah. It's not a flask, but it's like a little jug of hooch.
That's what it is, a flask. I believe.
Well, no, a flask is something that's kind of got that rounded thing so it can sit on your chest rounded and not show that you've actually got booze buried in your pocket.
I wouldn't know.
It's like the small liquor bottle. That's what it looks like. And it actually has the color of something, brandy or whiskey or whatever. I could actually do shots of this.
Is it that good?
Oh, dude. Oh, man. It made protein pancakes taste delicious, okay? Do you know what it takes to make anything protein taste good? Yeah. Send your emails to idea@wretched.org.
All right, this one comes from Mr. S. He says, how do we know we're honoring God with our wealth? I wonder what the S stands for.
How do you know you're honoring God with your wealth? There's other questions that I think need to be asked. What is my attitude about giving? How much am I giving? Why am I giving? And what sacrifice am I making? I think those are those would be four components and considerations that everybody should examine. Am I a cheerful giver? Or am I doing it under compulsion? Well, I guess we have to do the 10% thing, so I'll do it. And I'm not a fan of 10%. I'm a fan of you give what you want, because God loves a cheerful giver. That's 2 Corinthians 9. That's 9:7, if I'm not mistaken. That's exactly what he wants. A cheerful, over out of abundance. Am I giving stuff? And am I doing it for the right reasons? Not to pay for my sins, not to look good to the church council, not to get a plaque put up on a wall for my gift. I'm just giving because I love the Lord and I want to see his kingdom furthered. Am I motivated? And is there any sacrifice in this? I don't know that I'd put this at the head of the list, but I think it's in there that to some degree, giving, if it's going to be a sacrifice, it needs to actually be a sacrifice. How much that is up to you. Those are the marks of determining if you are a cheerful giver. This is Wretched Radio.
We have been so busy here at Wretched. How busy? We've been a Jehovah's Witness in the doorbell aisle at Home Depot busy around here. We've moved our warehouse. We've released new resources, Wretched Worldview, and Solving the God Puzzle. And we're getting set to release Season 2 of Road Trip to Truth while also filming Season 3. And we're also filming a new series about biblical counseling called Transformed. But you'll hear no complaints from us. Only gratitude. We are grateful for this opportunity to serve our Lord Jesus Christ and spread his gospel throughout the world. And we know we would not be able to do these things without the support of our gospel partners. If you're already supporting our efforts to reach millions all over the world with the gospel, we humbly thank you. If you're not a gospel partner, would you please prayerfully consider becoming one? Just head over to wretched.org/donate, or you can also text the word wretched to the number 44321. And thank you for your generosity, and thank you for keeping us busy.
And now a message from our dear brother Paul Marty of the Tomorrow Club's Kids Bible Clubs all throughout Eastern Europe. Just in case it isn't difficult enough to do ministry in poor Eastern Europe.
2020 has been a challenging year for all of us, and especially hard for the vulnerable kids and families the Tomorrow Club serve. But support from the Wretched audience has enabled us to continue to bring a message of hope, the gospel of Jesus Christ, to the forsaken places we serve. Thank you so much.
If you are a Tomorrow Club supporter, I echo his gratitude. If you are not, would you please consider becoming a Tomorrow Club supporter? You can sponsor your own kids club in Eastern Europe so efficiently. Just $30 per month to disciple 30 kids. Learn more at tomorrowclubs.org/wretched. tomorrowclubs.org/wretched.
Calling all hands and feet, we need you again. Over the years, you have partnered with us to distribute over 1 million copies of The Biggest Question and another 1 million copies of What Time is Purple? Well, now we need you again. We know you have it in you to help distribute 1 million copies of our newest booklet, Solving the God Puzzle. Solving the God Puzzle helps answer the doubts people have on the existence of God. A lot of what we encounter today is mere hopelessness, and helping people to tackle this issue is of the utmost importance, because eternity is at stake here. That's why we want you to partner with us in getting this booklet into as many hands as possible. We will send you as many copies of Solving the God Puzzle as you promised to give away free. And we'll even cover the shipping if you request more than a case. All of the details and your copies of Solving the God Puzzle right now at wretched.org/puzzle. That's wretched.org/puzzle.
Books of the Bible. Romans was written by the Apostle Paul to the church in Rome. It is a thorough, systematic presentation of the gospel. The two major themes are sin and righteousness. Sinners are counted righteous by imputation of Christ's righteousness. If you wish to understand the gospel, the clearest, most thorough explanation is in the book of Romans. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Yeah. This is Wretched Radio. I'm sorry. Did you think that sounded smug? It certainly isn't. I'm not bragging that I had the right Bible address on 2 Corinthians 9:7. I don't mind telling you, that's pretty impressive. Okay, here's the truth of the matter. We were just shooting some Wretched TV yesterday, and that verse was actually up on the screen. And I kept saying 2 Corinthians 7, so I had to be corrected and told it was 2 Corinthians 9. That's the only reason I would remember the verse. Although I do remember 2 Corinthians 8 and 9, the chapters are the giving chapters. The address is only drilled into my head because I kept biffing it. Yeah. Hey, you wanna be even more impressed, Jimmy? Yeah,
absolutely.
I got myself a demonstration from the Old Testament. What should motivate us to be joyful givers to God? That's what 2 Corinthians 9:7. Don't give under compulsion, no threat, not begrudgingly, joyfully. How do we become joyful givers? Nehemiah chapter 10. Okay, I know this because it was our pastor's sermon on Sunday, but it's still pretty impressive that I've retained anything at all. Believe me, a screen is less porous than my brain is. Nehemiah chapter 10. After we get kind of a list of here's the priests, here's the Levites, here's the leaders. So they list them out. Their names are actually enshrined in the Bible. And then we see what happens. And if we don't remember the context of the preceding chapters, we're good to just gloss right over it. In Nehemiah, if I recall, there were three responses that people had. Now, I'm not going to tell you what they were responding to. There were three responses that people had. They gave money. They gave stuff, the wood for the fire on the altar, and they went to work. What motivated joyful giving and happy service to the Lord? Sacrificing of stuff. What was it? Read back, and you will notice a whole lot of preaching was going on. There was preaching happening for hours a day. The people stood. People stood at a podium, read the Bible, and then exposited it. They opened it up and explained the meaning to the people. And after hearing it, they went, we're repenting. There's another fruit of good preaching. They repented. And then they got in alignment with the laws of Moses, saying, yeah, we're back in. We're putting ourselves under the blessings, curses. We're all in on this deal. Here's our money. For the running of the temple. Here's the wood. We'll go to work and help out. All of that is fruit from preaching. Consider Acts chapter 2. What do we see immediately after Pentecost? You see a fair amount of confusion going on. Accusations are flying all over the place. They're drunk. What's with the babbling? What language are they speaking? Well, they were speaking foreign languages. They were not speaking any sort of ecstatic speech. It was a foreign language, and they were being accused of being drunkards. What does Peter do? Preaches. What happened? What do we see in the early church in Acts chapter 2? People were assembling because the leaders, the elders, had been praying, studying the Bible, and then they preached to the people. That is the centrality of preaching. I think it is included. Those details are included in Acts chapter 2 to tell us the church gets launched. It starts preaching. You want to be a cheerful giver? Listen to more preaching. You will love Jesus more. And you'll want other people to experience the joy that you have because you have been shown such a great love. That's how we become cheerful givers. The word, the word, the word. Please send your emails to. Was that pretty impressive?
It was.
My knowledge of Nehemiah?
Absolutely.
Just heard the sermon.
Hey, you know what?
Nevertheless.
You know what else makes a cheerful giver?
What's that, Jimmy?
Being a monthly gospel partner. I kid.
Oh. That was so painfully bad. I'm inclined to not go with it, but I am going to go with it. Here's who you should give to first, your church. That's who you give to. All right, you give to us. We'd love that. Believe me, we would love that. without overstating it and thinking that we are by any means special, the Lord really appears to be blessing our labors here. Wait till you see Road Trip to Truth Season 2. Seriously, it is, these students and adults will have never heard this. They will never hear questions like this. Do you think a worldview should be followed if the person who wrote it was racist? And the kids all go, no, no, racism, no, then the terrible, cancel the guy. The guy that we had in view for that episode with Dr. John West was Charles Darwin, the thoroughgoing racist. And yet, we haven't canceled him yet. And then we have an interview with John Fabares and Dr. John West. Pretty much, we just booked people whose names were John. And Dr. John Street, there's another one. There was John Hammond, John Klusendorf, John Vincent. Okay, I'm making that part up. They talked about his racist attitudes and how those attitudes were incorporated into the worldviews of a lot of really bad people. The chief of fascists, Adolf Hitler, loved himself some Darwin and utilized Darwin's teaching to murder millions of people. Get rid of the defectives. That's what evolution is. If you believe Charles Darwin was brilliant, you should really read his books to discover he thought that certain people were better than other people because we'd evolved further. By the way, guess who those less evolved people were? That's right, black people. And we herald Charles Darwin. These kids have never heard this stuff. Never. And believe it or not, we get to a gospel presentation at the end of that. I'm losing my mind over it. It's so good. Because we then show in a second episode with John West in Road Trip Season 2, we show how Charles Darwin has influenced the clothes you wear. What? That's because psychology drives marketing. What do we need to do to get people to buy emotively, to get to their primal instinct? What is this? It's Darwinism. It's utilizing Darwinism in psychology, invading the marketing department to sell you stuff. What about TikTok? How has Darwin affected TikTok? How's about, because it goes after people's just swipes. Oh, no, I want a better one. I'm a breeder. That's all I am. I'm just in the race of making babies and competing with other people for stuff. What about justice? How does he affect justice? Well, we used to have something called the penal system, where you were punished for your sin. Your slate would be wiped and you could go back out into the community. Not anymore. It's all a sickness. It's a genetic deficiency. It is an evolutionary leftover and you're not to blame. So we just need to get you fixed. How long will that take? We don't know. So you might be in jail for a while. But that is what the justice system has become. And that is why you sometimes see very bad criminals released that should be locked up for forever. My opinion, quite often, death penalty would be better. But they get let out, and what do? Then you hear these stories, and then they go and kill somebody else. They rape another person. Why? Charles Darwin. He's influenced and infected so much. And so then we get to the gospel presentation. It's an animation that asks the question, did you know that you were so influenced by a bearded man from the 19th century? And this man did not believe in God. He hated God, and he loved you so little that he actually worked so that you could have a mechanism to deny God. But Charles Darwin is dead, and he was brought before the judge of all the earth, and he is now spending eternity in hell. He knows that God exists now. But let's study another bearded man, but from the first century. He loved you so much. He laid down his life for you that you might be in a relationship with God the Father. That's the distinction between these two bearded men. That he was willingly, voluntarily put on a cross as an act of penal substitutionary atonement, being punished not for his sins, but for your sins. And if you'll repent and put your trust in that bearded man from the first century, he will forgive you of your sins, adopt you into his family because he loves you that much. Which bearded man are you going to let influence your life? Oh, and I'm not even doing it justice. Oh, it's so good. And it's being utilized in Sunday. It's going to be available October 1st, by the way, season two. I encourage you to get season one. The study guide, the season study guide for season two is excellent. And we could use your support to do this stuff. We're just doing a lot around here, doing a new biblical counseling show, more resources. I'm writing another book. Oh, yay, Todd. Other than that, if you become a gospel partner, we'd be grateful at wretched.org/donate. But Jimmy, that was so lame. I'm not gonna go down that road.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Well, almost. If you would like to partner with a ministry that is really, everybody here works really hard because we want the same thing. Not to have more YouTube subscribers, but to reach more people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. If that floats your boat and you have already given joyfully and sacrificially to your local church, then you could consider becoming a gospel partner at wretched.org/donate. This is Wretched Radio.
This is Wretched Radio, and I'm Jimmy Hicks. Well, the College of the Ozarks in Point Lookout, Missouri, is continuing its fight against the Biden policy that forces women to share dorms, bathrooms, and other public spaces with biological males. The school filed a complaint in April against the February 11th memorandum, but a judge dismissed its lawsuit. Now, a U.S. Court of Appeals has agreed to expedite arguments in the lawsuit for a hearing set in November. Well, CBS has announced a new game show coming soon, and even the liberals already hate it. The show is called The Activist, and it's pitting contestants against one another to advance their woke causes. The synopsis describes the show as a competition series featuring six inspiring activists teamed with three high-profile public figures working together to bring meaningful change to important world causes like health, education, and environment. Though many liberal activists, as I said, already hate the idea of the game show, taking to Twitter saying being an activist isn't a game. And others are saying CBS is making a game out of social justice by attaching money and prizes, which is the very definition of capitalism. Well, if that wasn't weird enough, the Satanic Temple, a group identifying as Satanist, is trying to challenge the Texas abortion ban by filing for religious exemptions. Legal experts for the temple filed letters to the FDA last week requesting that their organization receive access to abortion-causing medicine based on their faith-based rights as members. So you had to know somebody was going to do something like this. I mean, obviously, the Satanic Temple feel that they have religious freedom to murder and mutilate babies for no reason whatsoever. Now, earlier this week, South Dakota Governor Kristi Noem signed an executive order which prohibits telemedicine abortions and restricts chemical abortions in the state. Good for her. The legislation, which is known as Executive Order 2021-12, restricts telemedicine abortions in several ways. For instance, abortion drugs may only be prescribed and dispensed in person by a state-licensed physician following an in-person examination. In January, Ohio Governor Mike DeWine also signed an executive order which banned telemedicine abortions and prohibited women from taking abortion pills outside the presence of a physician. Marjorie Dannenfelser, president of the Susan B. Anthony List, commended the South Dakota order just as she did the Ohio order earlier this year, calling it a bold action that will save lives. More Wretched Radio is straight ahead. I'm Jimmy Hicks.
God has given the church many gifts for the building up of the body. One gift is mercy. Those who possess this gift are able to show compassion and comfort the afflicted, people who are sick, dying, or bereaved. God cares about the things that afflict us and has provided comfort in troubled times. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Maybe we should get to, you know, the mailbag. This is Wretched Radio. Jimmy, you out of questions over there?
No, I'm not.
It's because we didn't get to any. The problem. It's the syrup. I'm blaming the syrup. It has caused me to just, I got a little sugar inside of my veins right now. Actually, I don't like to call it sugar because that seems so, well, you know, bad. syrup. I've got syrup coursing through my veins. Jimmy, Mrs. Friel and I made the protein pancakes. We drained a bottle.
The entire, is that what made them palatable?
Oh, man. It's like putting extra butter on popcorn. It's even better than before. This stuff is amazing. You'll see, because you got a bottle too. This lovely family who runs Mill Gap Farm, they gave everybody here a bottle of liquid joy. You try it. You're going to be repenting to me, Pally.
Okay, I can't
wait. Your ha-ha-ha attitude is going to turn into sorrow when you realize how delicious it is. Please send your emails to idea@wretched.org.
All right, this comes from Steve. He has a question regarding his church. He says in his email, in lieu of a Sunday morning worship service, his church has planned a service day for members to serve the local area. Mm-hmm. Now, look, he sent a link to in the email, and I did click that because I was curious. Mm-hmm. And I read through some of the service projects that are cleaning up local parks, packing and serving food for children.
Oh, wait, so it's not even like the church maintenance?
No. This is a service day to the community.
Wow. In lieu of church.
In lieu of church. Uh-huh. Now, but they do meet at 8:30 for a 30-minute worship service prior to being dismissed to their service projects. And he is wondering if that is sinful.
Let's just start with what we're doing on Sunday. Can we start there? And I think this makes itself quite plain. Think of all of the activities at your church, whether it's cleaning a park, feeding people, running a pantry, doing Sunday school, all of the activities that take place. What's the most important one? It's easy. Sunday morning service. The saints are assembling, coming together on the first day of the week, Resurrection Day, to praise the one who died and rose again for our sins. And we get to sing to him, and we get to hear from him through the mouth of a fallible man. He preaches the word to us, and we get to know God better so that we're equipped for the rest of the week and conform more and more into the image of Jesus Christ. And while we're there, we get to watch somebody get baptized. What? Jesus is still saving people. We get to partake in a tangible, tactile way, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ when we do communion together. Well, what about church discipline? That's going to happen some Sunday morning. Might not be in the service. It might be, but it might be afterwards, where you see the love of elders who care so much about lost people who are currently astray that they're willing to set them outside of the camp in hopes that they'll come to their senses and repent. That's what we're doing. But this week, we're going to clean up a park. But don't worry. Come on now. We aren't liberals. We're also going to have a 30-minute get-together. We'll get through this really quick. What does it say? I think the message that's sent is church isn't that important. It's just not. There's other stuff that is at least equally. It's got to be at least equally as important to displace what we do on Sunday mornings. So what do we do? What do we do with that idea? I get it. I'm glad they want to help people. I sure hope when they're cleaning the park that they're also passing out gospel literature, because what does it profit a community if their park doesn't have Coke cans on the ground, but the kids and their parents who amuse themselves there die and go to hell? So what's my attitude about displacing church for any reason? Might there ever be a reason? Sure. Here could be a reason. The church building collapsed Saturday night, and there's rubble. I'd still figure out a way to do a Sunday morning worship service. I'd do it on top of the rubble.
Yep.
This is a psalm of ascent. Consider how David viewed being in the temple. This is it. This is the best thing in the world. In fact, it's Psalm 130, where it describes a man who's sitting at a table and he's looking at the blessings, how God has drawn his lines in pleasant places. He's got a wife he loves and kids and maybe even grandkids as he's sitting at the table enjoying a meal with his family and doing what? Looking up at the temple. Why? Because that's the best place on earth. Well, guess what? That was only a picture, a shadow of the temple, Jesus Christ, who tabernacled among us, and now he dwells in us, that we would be the temples of the Holy Spirit. That's what church is now. It's not the temple. It's the sweetest place in the world. It's the best thing we can ever do. I know that maybe your church, it's dull. I get it. They don't sing the music you like. Don't forget what we're doing. It'll just tamp down your displeasure with the way things are being done. It will, because it doesn't matter whether you like the music. That's not what you're doing here. I didn't come so I can sing along with Darlene Check. I came here to worship God with fellow saints and to look around and see them singing the same songs. Hopefully not Hillsong. Hopefully not Bethel. Hopefully not Elevation. But you're there singing praise to God, and then you get to hear him speak through the mouth of a man to you. That'll help. Send your emails to idea@wretched.org.
From Sean, he wrote in regards to the question we had last week about MMA fighting, if you remember that. He said, another angle to consider about MMA fighting is the extreme immodesty that accompanies every fight via the cheerleaders.
Ah, yeah. There you go. You can't judge those things. It's just best to not watch those things. Yeah, you can sit there with the clicker, mute, I guess. But why would we want to put our eyes on something that is forbidden? Remember, when we look at somebody's body in a way that we should only do with our spouse, we're peeping Toms. That word's, well, it's gross. You're a peeping Tom? I think the word that people describe it, what is a peeping Tom? Somebody would go, he's a pervert. Perv. That's what we do when we look at pornography. That's what we do when we look at somebody scantily dressed. We're peeping Toms. We shouldn't be seeing that stuff. Why? Because clothing is a reminder of the fall. Clothing is a reminder of sin, that we're different than animals. They don't cover up. They don't care. We're different. And clothing is one of those marks that differentiates us from the animals. And there is no evolutionary explanation for this. By the way, this is season two also. I got to tell you, this episode, it's Dr. Jason Lyle, a Christian astrophysicist. I can't even spell it. He's it. And we wanted to talk to him about Genesis to demonstrate that the book of Genesis is the one book that explains virtually every reality that we experience. It's all there. And he laid that out one after another. We have an explanation for languages. We have an explanation for borders. We have an explanation for justice. We have an explanation for righteousness and the gospel and how we are justified by God. And it was done when he killed the first animal to take skins to cover up people. Now we have an explanation for nudity and why we're like, don't catch me in my birthday suit. This is embarrassing. Why? Because Genesis explains that's a part of the fall. It's you going a dig road trip to truth, season two. Friel, at this point, we won't have to watch it if you keep blabbing about it. So when it comes to what we put our eyes on, if we remember that what we are doing is a perversion, maybe that'll help us to make some better viewing decisions. idea@wretched.org.
All right. This one is kind of around the same line, but it comes from, who is this? Jacob. And he's genuinely searching for an answer here, but he's wondering if there will be sex in heaven.
Well, there's a question. Yeah. No. And here's why. We're going to have the fulfillment of what sex points to. We will not be in a sexual relationship with our Savior. I don't care what you try to do to Song of Solomon. It ain't going to be mooey-gooey romantic. We're not Moravians. We're not from Bethel. We love Jesus as Christ and Lord. And we'll be singing them their praises in heaven. And in fellowship with one another and enjoying God, it will be as if, by comparison, sex would be like, oh, that was nothing. Why? Because sex is a pointer to the real. Sex is God's physical way of going, if you would like to know what it is like to be in a relationship in a non-sexual way with me, your God, and what you're going to experience in heaven when you enjoy intimacy with your spouse in a lifelong covenanted relationship, that's a foreshadowing of heaven. So when we get to heaven, we're not going to need it because we have the very thing that it was pointing to. Furthermore, marriage. Now, I have slightly different take on the whole marriage thing in heaven. I find it difficult to believe that I'm going to be brain swiped and not remember that I'm married to Mrs. Friel. But marriage is a pointer too, and we're going to be in that sort of relationship with everyone. This is Wretched Radio. Be careful. Be very, very careful, my cold-hearted conservative friend, because this just might melt your heart if you are a supporter of preborn.org/wretched, providing ultrasounds, ultrasound machines, and sonograms. Careful, this might just melt your heart.
That sonogram changed my life. I went from just Candace to Mom. Thank you to everybody that has given these gifts. You guys are giving more than money. You guys are giving love.
You're giving love when you support Preborn because a mommy sees a baby in the womb courtesy of an ultrasound machine and 80% of the time keeps the baby. $28 an ultrasound, or perhaps you might be of the means to provide an actual ultrasound machine if you can. Oh, they need them, and they'll put them to work, and it'll show some love. Preborn.org/wretched.
Hey, thanks for joining us today. I want to ask you an odd question. How are your finances? Now, I'm not asking for you to give me a direct answer. I'm asking because we all need to think about how wisely we're stewarding the resources God's provided to us. Whether it be your local church or a parachurch ministry like Wretched, the Bible teaches that our giving should be done out of joy, and it should be an amount that we desire to give, not an amount that we've been guilted into giving. Why do I bring this up? Well, at Wretched, we rely on the kindness and generosity of God's people just like you to do the things that we feel led to do, which is preach the gospel, equip the saints, and strengthen the local church. Your faithful support enables us to reach millions of people all over the world. So would you prayerfully consider partnering with Wretched to reach the world with the gospel? Find out how you can become an ongoing monthly gospel partner now by visiting wretched.org/donate. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
This shopping rule has been officially broken. You know the rule. You're in the store. You're choosing between two items. One is more expensive. It's the nicer one, you think. And it's better than the less expensive item. You can't have both. It can't be inexpensive and good. That rule has just been broken. MediShare, double the satisfaction rate of people who have traditional health insurance. MediShare is affordable biblical health sharing, and it saves the average family $500 per month. And yet, the people, the 400,000 people that are in the MediShare program, are more satisfied with MediShare than other folks with traditional health insurance. The rule has been broken. Learn how much you could save and be happy with MediShare at 844-34-BIBLE, 844-34-BIBLE.
Lexicon. There are many words to help us understand the nature of the Bible. Words like perspicuity, the clarity of Scripture. God uses the text of Scripture to clearly communicate His character and will. God has not hidden His will for only the enlightened few to find. His truth can be clearly understood by anyone who reads His Word.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Two words. Oh, and boy.
1-8-7-7-2-8-2-BEEP.
This is Flop Sweat Radio because that's what you give me. You make me sweat in a really bad kind of... You know, there's a difference between like playing tennis and getting all spritzy, but then there's... Then there's thinking about your beep talks. That produces something totally different because I don't know what it is. It is like the people who have a phobia. There's arachnophobia, the spiders. There's There's heightophobia.
The fear of heights.
That's the one right there. Agoraphobia. I don't want to go outside. Just like your body just goes, hey, we're going in a different direction here.
And you got beepophobia.
I got beepophobia. Thank you is what I've got right there. I've got the beepophobia. You make me sweat.
Hey, Todd. I just heard your thing on the radio about...
Hold it. Stop him. Something is wrong here. Something is wrong. Jimmy.
What? Yeah.
We're getting like a rash, and I mean that in a good way, of really cheery people. What's the deal? These are Christians. We're not supposed to be happy. Didn't you get the memo?
Hey, Todd, I just heard your thing on the radio about eugenics or birth control, population control. Wouldn't you want to wait to have children until you have the money to support them? They didn't ask to be born.
There's two considerations for that comment. Let's see if we can dissect that last statement. Shouldn't you wait till you can afford a kid? They didn't ask to be born. Well, first of all, I think maybe loaded into that question is the quality of life issue. Hey, they didn't ask to be born into a poor situation. Hold on a second. How much money a parent has is not the determining factor of the value of life. So we want to make sure that we don't fall into that potential trap of thinking, well, maybe blessing needs to wait because of, you know, they just won't have a quality of life because they didn't ask to be born. By the way, nobody asked to be born. It's a blessing to be born. It's a gift to be born. We should be thanking God that we're born. And I do think we need to address, however, would it ever be right for a couple to wait? And the answer to that question is, I believe that they can. As long as they don't use any abortifacients, yes, they can, because they're trying to be wise. They're trying to be good stewards. That's a different argument than the quality of life umbrella, which gets wildly abused. I do believe that you have that option, that you can make those decisions as to when you will be having a child because of financial reasons. Just don't let the quality of life ruse deter you. If you can afford a kid, you can afford a kid. Don't fall into that. Well, but we can't afford Ivy League school. I'm not even suggesting that's a good idea anyway. We can't afford these types of clothing. Doesn't matter. If you can afford to keep the kid alive and healthy, you can have a child. But I still believe, though, that a parent does have the right to work together as husband and wife, big decision, making babies, to determine when they would like to have kids. See? That's why you make me sweat.
Yeah, Todd Friel, what do you think about the flat earth in the Bible?
It's a trend. I'm hoping it's waning because it seemed to be one of those, well, what would be a synonym for trend?
Trend.
Let's go with that. That's better. Yeah. Thank you for that.
Yeah,
our
welcome.
Walking thesaurus, Jimmy Hicks, ladies and gentlemen. The trend of it's a flat earth. I think that, too, we've got some people that are returning to geocentrism, and evangelicals seem to like those theories. I don't think the Bible promotes a flat earth. The Bible uses language like the four corners of the earth, not because there's four corners of the earth. It's just a poetic way of describing it from here to there. Anthropomorphic language to describe something bigger than us. God does that even with himself in describing himself. He uses language that you got to be really careful with, specifically, if I might say, regarding emotions. Does God have emotions? Now, I know there are some people who just go, no, stop sign, because they have a fear, rightly so, that we turn God into somebody who's whimsical, that events affect his emotions. That's wrong. Nothing affects God's emotions. All of his emotions are right, settled, and predetermined. He's not like, oh, those people are so mean, so bummed out about that. No, he knew they were going to be mean, and he knew he was going to drown everybody in a flood but eight. God's emotions are the way that they rock steady, but we do have to say that he has emotions because we can grieve the Holy Spirit. God rejoices over his children. There is more joy, that's a feeling, it's an emotion in heaven over one sinner who repents. Not the angels that are rejoicing. I mean, they might be, but it's referring to God himself. That God delight, he has, if you will, feelings, but you can hear the danger in that human term. That's why we need to be careful when we read our Bible. God uses language so we can get it. What if God, instead of using anthropomorphic language, if this is leading you to go, I don't know that that was a good idea. All right, let's say this. You read your verse, and it says, when you sin, you fluffen Narbenstein, the Holy Spirit. Because fluffen Narbenstein means that God's predetermined, settled, non-affected emotion is feeling, is, no, I can't use the word feeling, is this when you sin. It's a fluff Narbenstein. You'd go, well, I don't even know what that is. That's because, well, God is, he doesn't want to use anthropomorphic terms. He just wants to use a word that he created that accurately describes God's emotive state. You would go, why doesn't he just talk so I can get it? And he does. And some people will take that to go, so God is a girl because he talks about being a mother hen. No, he's trying to paint the picture that God is tender and he cares about his chicks. That's what's going on there. And I think the four corners of the earth are one of those anthropomorphic terms. How's about sun rising and sun setting? Let me ask you a question. The last time you watched the news, and honestly, I hope it was a long time ago. The last time you watched the news and the weather came on, and the weatherman does his obligatory, and the sun rose this morning at 7:12. Did you get on the internet and go, I got it. The sun didn't rise. The earth rotated. You just accept that. Why? Because it's language that we understand, and God uses language we understand, and I don't think he intended to paint a picture that the earth is like a tabletop. I might just go a step further, and if you're not annoyed with me yet, you might be now. I like a good conspiracy theory as much as anybody else. I just don't know what it would profit NASA to deceive us into thinking the earth is round when it's flat. I don't see the evolutionary gain. I don't see the denouncing God advantage. I don't see it being any sort of assault on biblical truth. I just don't know what their motive would be. We've got pictures from outer space. It's round. And the Bible also, in using anthropomorphic language, tells us that too. The circle of the earth. Well, that's an accurate description. It's still anthropomorphic, but it's like, okay, it's a circle. So how do we figure it out? Well, we've let the Bible, we understand anthropomorphic language. Then we can even use a little bit of science in this issue because it's not really a bullseye theological issue, is it? The shape of the earth. And I think we conclude it's round, not flat. idea@wretched.org. Oh,
You're so scared of it that you...
I don't want to do it. That was like a psychological thing.
It was.
I wanted to kick it to you.
I know.
Okay, so what is it? Why are you the buffer that makes me feel better? Because it's like the person is communicating, but there's something about people calling that makes me just go...
Church sign.
There it is.
Come hear our pastor. Not very good, but the preaching is short.
Hey, there's an endorsement for the importance of preaching. You know, here's the good news about that sign. You know, I don't know if they're right, but it would appear that that church isn't really concerned about the souls of human beings. To, you know, put something like evangelistic or really Christian up. They must feel that everybody's already saved and nobody needs any wisdom from the church to put up such a funny sign.
Hey, Todd, this is David from LaRose, Louisiana. 2 weeks ago at Nicholls State University in Thibodaux, Louisiana, I was doing some open-air preaching.
Yay.
When I got done, a student came up to me and said, hey, you do the same thing that Todd Friel does at Georgia Tech. What? I thought you did the same thing I did.
That's exactly right. No, sir, we both do the same thing Ray Comfort does. And Ray Comfort and you and I do the same thing that John the Baptist did. And Isaiah and Jeremiah and Paul and, oh, yeah, Jesus himself. Good on you, sir. University campus, if you've got one near you, that I would encourage you could be your fishing hole where you do open-air preaching in the great tradition of of the Bible and Jesus Christ himself. Until tomorrow, go serve your King.